Sex and happiness both enrich our lives, yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Host Lori Handlers helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness. You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everybody. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to another episode of Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. And I know that I'm getting sexier and happier every time I do the show because I learn something. To me, I'm a perpetual student, and my favorite subjects are sex and happiness. So hopefully they're yours, too. I can't imagine that somebody wouldn't have them as hot topics, but, you know, it's your life. I think if you're listening to the show, then this is what excites you, and that excites me. So today we're going to be talking about an interesting topic, something different, something a little bit different from what we usually talk about, and that is sex in Singapore. That's right, sex in Singapore. And my guest today is Martha Tara Lee. Actually, she's Dr. Martha Tara Lee, and she is the founder of Eros Coaching. She's a clinical sexologist who lives in Singapore. She has a doctorate in human sexuality. Often cited in the local media, Dr. Lee is the appointed sex expert for Men's Health Singapore and Men's Health Malaysia. She was recognized as one of the top 50 inspiring women under 40 by Her World in July 2010 and one of the top 100 inspiring women by Cozy Cot in March 2011. And I just want to put my two cents in there and say she inspires me. So I'm bringing her onto the show right now, and she's going to inspire us. So Martha, welcome to Sex and Happiness.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I love you, and I'm glad that you could make it on my show. So I'll just tell people, if we sound very familiar, like often I sound familiar with my guests because mostly I know my guests, and I know you because you and I have been working together now almost, I think, 9 months. You've been apprenticing in Tantra with me. So, but you have this whole other world of sexology that relates to Tantra in a certain way, but it isn't exactly tantric, and so that's why we're doing study together. And anyway, I'm thrilled that you can make it to the show, and I want to talk about what it's like to have a life where you've gotten a doctorate in human sexuality and you live in Singapore and you're a woman. Like, that must have been an interesting and possibly even difficult choice for you. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it was difficult getting all these reactions from people. I guess being the firstborn, I have been used to always thinking for myself and fighting for what I want in life. Mm-hmm. From putting on lipstick, wearing contact lenses, going to my first barbecue, my first sleepover, starting the course that I prefer when I was doing even my O-levels. So all the way, I felt that I had to fight and for what I want, because that's what makes me happy. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of anger and injustice because my sister is just 1 year younger and she has such an easier time. So anyway, I think because of that, I really didn't ask myself too much what it would be like being the first sexologist in Singapore. I was nervous about it. I didn't know what people would say. And then people just kept telling me again and again how brave and courageous. And then when I started my practice, yeah, it was really difficult, especially the first 2 years. I didn't have many clients, and I was really not even able to make ends meet. And it's such a rewarding work that I do that I guess it really is just a muscle that you exercise until you just, it's just a way of life for me, being who I am, what I'm meant to be, and doing what I'm passionate about. So yeah, I do get raised eyebrows. I get people, you know, like joking about what I do. Mm. And really, it just gets very old after the first 2 years.
Well, how many years have you been at this?
I've been doing this for 7 years now. So I've survived the 7 year itch.
Okay. So let's roll back a little bit more. Like, so you're the oldest child. I am too. So I can totally relate to fighting, you know, fighting and carving your own turf. What did your parents say when you said you were going to take a doctorate in sex?
Well, I had other careers before that. I have had a 8 year career in corporate communications, doing PR, marketing, advertising in different companies and industries. And then I started a nonprofit where I was helping young people in the area of career guidance for 2 years. And being a nonprofit, it was really not sustainable. So I decided to start my own practice, only this time helping people and focusing on sex. It wasn't until I started doing volunteer counseling that I realized I had a gift, that I had empathy. And even though I'm quite an impatient person and very direct, because of this love for people and identifying with their heart and their pain, suddenly I became really patient and really able to draw out the best in people. And so that's when I realized I have this gift and decided to get all this knowledge about human sexuality, because sex has always been a big interest of mine. And so I guess that's how it started.
Mm. And your parents were okay with it?
Oh, yes. Yeah, so my parents.
Yeah.
So then when I told my parents about this new degree that I'm going to pursue in San Francisco, my dad was saying, you should just stick with working for other people and just be content with earning like paycheck to paycheck. And I wasn't asking them for permission. I was informing them. That was the difference.
That's great. I mean, that's very assertive, and it's an important distinction to make that asking.
And a few weeks later, he comes back to me, my dad, and then he says, if you're an entrepreneur, you probably might make more money. So it was never about whether I was a sexologist. It was about me being an entrepreneur. That was really the issue. Mm-hmm. And he was okay with it if I made more money. So it was all about money to Asians. And so people don't realize, or people underestimate my parents. Like, they think that they are so woo-woo about the sex thing. I think they really didn't know exactly what I was doing, and I'm not sure they care, but I'm sure they're proud of me.
That's great. It's wonderful to know, because I will tell you that when I started my career in Tantra, my mother was already deceased. I'm sure she wouldn't have gone along with it. You know, I'm sure it would have horrified her. But my father was okay with it, and my father actually came to class. And
nice.
He's on the video, on my Bliss video, so there's living proof that, even though he's now deceased, there's living proof of my father. Any time I want to see him, I just put on my video. So I felt tremendously supported by that, and it made a difference to me. That's why I was asking you about your parents, because we're women, it helps to have the support of parents in something as revolutionary as a career in sexology or in teaching sex and happiness or what have you. So it's great to know. So you chose to be a sexologist because you had an interest in sex. You didn't say, I want to be an entrepreneur, let me see what I could choose. It doesn't sound like that. It sounds like you had an interest in sex, and then you said, okay, I'm going to get this degree and be an entrepreneur. Yeah?
Yeah, and we're helping people. I see sex as an important part of who we are and what makes us happy. Mm-hmm. And it's something so important to be talked about in a positive way. I was sick of seeing how sex was always talked about only in negative ways. How to avoid pregnancy or, STI, don't get AIDS. And really, that's not the kind of message that is positive. And I wanted to be the one to really make a difference to people who want to love sex. And I really love sex, so I didn't understand why people don't talk about it more.
Yeah.
So that's why I did it when I got this doctorate.
I think people are crippled by their religious beliefs and by the fear of public opinion. That's why they don't talk about it more. But it's it's coming slowly. I mean, in Singapore, it's probably coming more slowly than it's coming in the United States, which is also slower than I thought, but it is coming along. What, you know, there's this thing you mentioned earlier about people making jokes about it. Like, there's something about being taken seriously that I think you're still sometimes wrestling with. Is that true?
Yeah. I think the more educated someone is, the less likely they would make jokes about what I do. What happens is when I go for networking events, you know, I just get asked so many questions. I get asked the same questions. So it's tiring repeating myself all the time with the same enthusiasm. I know some people really love talking about themselves. I don't. I rather that my work show for it. And so I really just hide behind the computer screen, and I do a lot of social media. I write articles. I do my own radio show now. And I really just plow at it because I just want to be available for anybody who's seeking me and to help as many people as I can in my lifetime.
That's a very noble cause that you've set out to have, and especially because you said earlier in the show that you're impatient. I thought that was an interesting self-acknowledgement. So how is it that you can be this empathic and this understanding and this spot on with people and still have like an impatience? Like, how, you know, have people given you that feedback, or you just know it?
I know that I get this feedback from the past when I really didn't understand the whole masculine, feminine, and I'm really quite masculine in the way I think, and yet I feel like a woman, right? I feel in a feminine way. So there was always this, I guess, angst, or you mentioned in one of your previous show that you feel that you were born angry. I think I had this thing about me, and I've been told that I'm an indigo child, or now an indigo adult. And that's what we do. We are born to
fight.
We are born to change the world, and we fight for injustice. And to me, sex is an injustice that I fight for. So I don't have time for nonsense, and I cut through the bullshit, and I'm very direct. And yeah, that's very unusual for an Asian woman. So I get people who look at me and say, oh, I look so shy or quiet or demure. And then I open my mouth, and then they're shocked.
Yeah.
So it helps. It helps to be a woman because it gives people the impression or illusion or perception that they're safe with me, and they are. And then I really cut through all that and really get to the heart of what they came to me for. So I really like how I'm able to help clients and give them the results that they're looking for and the transformation in such a short time. And they move on and lead happy, sexy, loving, happy lives. And that's really important to me, that that it's not really about me. It's really about being effective and being the best person that I can be for them when they seek me out.
Mm, very, very good and very well said. I love the whole part, the whole preamble about being an indigo child. You know, I'm quite a bit older than you, and I too, when I first found out about what an indigo child was, I knew that was me. And then I said, how could it be? Because indigo children were born so much later than I was. And then someone said, yeah, but there were a few people sent out like as the scouts. And I said, that must have been me. Because I've been a fighter like that. Exactly what you described about yourself pretty much my whole life. Now I'm more of a lover than a fighter, but I totally get it. I would still put my fists up and fight anybody if I needed to.
Yes, I think as I got older, I realized the power of the feminine, of being in flow, and the gentleness,
right,
and the softness that really is something that I needed to learn and cultivate so that I can be much more well-balanced and I can use both sides of the sword. And
good.
And it's not that one is better than the other. I just really needed to appreciate that. So in the last few years, I have been very conscious about cultivating the feminine side of myself by giving myself dates. I go on dates by myself and I focus on pleasure and I do what feels luxurious and loving and gentle and feminine and girly. So I do all those things and it has really shifted my energy quite a lot. And I can now really appreciate and see how much better my coaching has become and how much more effective I am with different types of people.
Beautiful.
And that's beautiful. Really important that all of us appreciate and accept both all sides of ourselves.
Mm. Well, we're going to take a little break there. That's a really good note to leave people with in this moment. Appreciating all parts of yourself is a very powerful and very healing message. So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers, and today I'm interviewing with pleasure my dear friend and colleague, Dr. Martha Tara Lee, and she is coming to us from Singapore, and she is a sexologist. She's the first sexologist in the land of Singapore, and she's a female, and so she's had to deal with a lot. And she's describing that to us, and yet she triumphs by her love for people and her enthusiasm and also her empathy. So when we come back, we'll be talking to her more about the thing she actually does, the services that she offers, why people would come to her, and different things. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back. Sexual. My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra Safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life, get the best from relationships, attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Laurie Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Laurie Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com. For your copy of Sex and Happiness.
You know, I'm wondering if you've reached a point in your life where happiness seems a little further from reach than maybe it was a year ago. Does your sex life feel a little stale or hollow, like something is missing? Or maybe living seems like a constant source of frustration rather than Moments of Bliss. Each year, Butterfly Workshops brings together people just like you who are ready for a change. Our courses are structured to be lighthearted, full of laughter and humor, and also touch you in a way that involves real change. Inside our workshops, we take a look at Tantra, an ancient philosophy developed thousands of years ago. In all of the courses, we use simple yet effective techniques from Tantra to rid the body of anxiety, boost our sex life, and bring happiness and fullness into our lives. Our next Butterfly Workshops introductory course, Bliss, will take place in Phoenix, Arizona on July 21st, followed by Ecstasy, a more advanced Tantra course. You can take them both together for an urban retreat, July 21st, 22nd, 23rd, 24th, or you could take just the Thursday, July 21st, for Bliss. If you've already done Bliss, then you can take Ecstasy, July 22nd, 23rd, 24th. For more information, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com. I'd love to have you there. When I get that feeling, I want sexual healing. We are back with Sex and Happiness. Again, I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. And today I'm interviewing Dr. Martha Tara Lee. And she's told us a bit about how she got into the field of sexology. I was going to say sexuality. I don't know why I was going to say sexology, which has to do with sexuality. And she lives in Singapore. And she has been named the top 50 inspiring women under 40 by something called Her World in 2010, and the top 100 inspiring women in by Cozy Cot in 2011. And I can tell you for sure that she's inspiring. I know for a fact. So we're talking about different things, and one of the things I want to discuss with Martha right now is the kinds of things she does, like what would be a typical reason for somebody to come to her. And given that you are in Asia, Martha, that you're that you work primarily in Singapore and Malaysia, how is it different? I know you've traveled, you've been in the U.S., you've been in Australia, you've been in Bali. Like, who comes to you, and how is it different from a client that might come to you in Australia, let's say?
So I do work with expats, people of different nationalities and cultures and races and religions.
Great.
And so I've been very privileged to work with people of all kinds of different backgrounds. And I would say that a lot of people say we Asians are very conservative. However, I think what's the hardest is getting them through that door first. And once they're there, they know they're paying me money for the session. So they push themselves to talk about their issue. And because I'm so comfortable talking about sex, they relax, and they in turn feel very comfortable talking about it with me. And once we start, sometimes they don't want to leave, and it's hard getting them out of that door sometimes. And so I realized that actually there's no difference between Asians and Caucasians. It's just all in our mind, I feel. And I really do believe that the person with the highest vibration leads. And I really believe after some time with me, they start resonating at a higher frequency with me, because I pull them alongside. And I really live for those times when I see this all the time, people who come in looking depressed and down and very, very low energy. And as they start getting more information and resources, skills and knowledge, They start to literally transform in front of me. They look, their faces look brighter. They are smiling. They're glowing, and that's what I live for.
Mm.
So I guess working with Asians and Caucasians, I would say they, because of their belief that they are more conservative, but they don't realize I work with expats as well, and they're the same. They are the same. Maybe they are more eloquent. Maybe they know the names of anatomical parts, and they can articulate better. But Asians can just as well. So that's how I feel. And of course, the lack of sex knowledge, the lack of practice in communication slows the process, but I feel that they catch up just as quickly. And yeah, it helps that I speak their language. I can add in a few like local words or Singlish or Mandarin or a little bit of Malay. And they know I'm one of them, and it really helps to ease things up.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you pointed that out, so that it could diffuse any racism that people have about it, whether it's self prejudice or other prejudice. It's very, very important. Now, I know one of my friends used to go to China all the time and teach classes in sexuality in China to doctors, because they had it mostly as procreation sex, not mm-hmm. so much as anything else, like as transformation or the revitalization kind of sex. Like, they didn't have it that way, even the doctors in China. So I think it just is, it's been suppressed.
Yeah.
And
yeah, China is a big market, you know. They manufacture all these amazing sex toys that are sold all around the world. They have this annual Sexpo in Macau. And there's actually a lot of sex education being done in China. And because of the one-child policy, there's so many more women than men. And the women are the ones who are much more successful and affluent, because women are also more likely to be quick on our feet and be able to multitask and all these amazing things that women can do. So actually the women are really a force to reckon with in China. So quite different than what people perceive of Chinese people as being backward. They're really quite progressive over there. And I can speak Mandarin, but it's not like 100% fluent. And that's why I don't really see China as a big market for me, even though it is a big market. But I do speak Mandarin with my clients if they need to. I cannot read or write Mandarin well. Mm. And a friend of mine was extremely impressed that my Mandarin has improved over the years. And then I said, well, it's because I have to, because I have to put aside my discomfort with Mandarin, and I just need to do it. And the more I do it, I become better at it. And I have sessions where I conduct from start to end in Mandarin, and it's really difficult for me. But I do it because of the love for the person in front of me.
That's awesome. That's really awesome to be fluent in that. That's wonderful. Well, let's talk a little bit about what some of the people come to for.
You know? Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, people ask me this. So when I went for training and I went through all the, you know, I went, okay, so human sexuality is such a big field. There's so many things to learn and study. So I go to school, I'm exposed to everything. I have no idea what's going to happen when I start my practice. People think I would know, but actually I had totally no idea what to expect. So, when I was studying, I was exposed to this sexual dysfunction called vaginismus, and it's a condition that happens when the woman's vagina shuts down, making penetration difficult or impossible. Mm-hmm. So it's an involuntary muscle spasm, and you can talk until the cows come home, but to me, it's basically a sexual phobia. It's a phobia of pain to me, and it's not a physical, it's a psychological fear causing a physical response to happen. It's just like fear of spiders or fear of flying. Your whole body starts sweating or tensing up, and it's really about I often related to the lack of sex education. So anyway, I talk a lot about vaginismus in my work because this is the number one reason why people come to see me. Sometimes they don't know they have vaginismus, but when they describe to me, they cannot have sex, and the woman is saying, I cannot have sex, I have fear of pain. It is vaginismus. And so this is the number one reason why people come to see me.
Mm. Now, I had a client who had that, and she said it felt like she had glass inside of her vagina when her boyfriend was trying to penetrate her. And actually, at some point during our sessions, I told her to break up with the boyfriend. I thought it was actually him. I thought it was his attitude, the way he regarded her, and she got very mad at me and didn't come back. But she did break up with him sometime soon thereafter and met somebody new and has no problem. So whatever it was he was triggering in her was some kind of fear, just what you're saying, of something earlier similar, or just her shut down to him, just saying.
Yeah.
You know?
It could be because if you have a fear of pain, just like anything in Tantra, it's really about being able to relax with that person and being able to receive and surrender. So literally receiving, meaning like relaxing your whole body and receiving, like, you know, our vagina is a receptacle, receiving him into you. So there's a lot of vulnerability and safety and trust that needs to happen. And some men are just bad lovers. So they don't realize that because of the way they behave, that it's impossible to get the woman to receive him, much less enjoy sex with him.
Yeah, that's what I thought was going on there. So, and he was not open to coming to class or anything like that. So that was, for me, that was a red flag. But thanks. Yes. So that's a lot of what your clients are. Very interesting. And then you must have the same dilemma that I have, something about when you have your own lover, do you find that you get stuck teaching your lovers how to make love to you, or
no,
or do you send them off to somebody else?
No, I don't. I think one of the very important things that actually I wasn't so good at, but I'm becoming better at, is with clear communication and with setting boundaries. Because I'm Asian and we are just told to shut up and sit down and look pretty. And I never had any sex education growing up, so I didn't really know much about communication. And it was a big frustration for me before I was a sexologist to speak about sex in a way that felt real. It took me a long time to learn this for myself because I had no training, sexual communication in the bedroom. So when I became a sexologist, realizing all these boundaries, and also when I started my practice, I also did get some sexual harassment, and that really taught me the importance of boundaries professionally and personally.
Mm.
So in my head, and with my friends, I have really wonderful friends who love me and support me physically, emotionally, come to my workshops, actually help me with registration and moving things and stuff. I really love them, love my friends so much. And one of the things that I have really learned from my friends also is how they respect boundaries. They don't, we might talk about sex in conversation, but they don't exploit my time by expecting me to give them a session because I'm their friend. And so I guess through that, along the way, I also learned not to put this onto a lover, to feel that I have to teach my lover, because I get paid for this. I talk about sex all the time. I don't want them to feel that I'm teaching them. I just want to be a woman when I'm with my lover. And this means just surrendering and just accepting whatever comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, when I have pain, I'll speak up. Or when I want to do something, I'll speak up. But I don't feel that I'm doing all that to teach him, because it's really not my responsibility to teach.
Mm-hmm.
If he wants to learn, then of course I'll share. But I would love to do a lot more like tantric practices with my partner. But that's a desire that I have. And it's just a matter of being with the right person who is actually open to it.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we're going to take another break here, and when we come back, we're going to talk about your latest coup. You and Robin Vogel had this Make Love Week that's going on, and I want to talk a little bit about that and talk about things that you've learned, like tips you might be able to give my listeners on things that you've learned either through your own practice or even what you learned through producing Make Love Week. So we'll talk about that when we come back. This is Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers, and today I'm interviewing Dr. Martha Tara Lee, who is a sexologist in Singapore, the first sexologist of Singapore. And we're having a great conversation about all kinds of things, including differences that could arise in Asia or maybe not, and what Martha's learned in terms of taking herself seriously, learning boundaries, etc. All lessons that everyone listening can learn from. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. I'm inviting you to open to the path of true love, power, and freedom. Did you ever stop to think that love is your birthright? That you don't need to earn it or prove it? You just need to live it. If you're ready to radically enliven your sexuality and dive deep into the heart of your wild, erotic nature, then I'm inviting you to join us for the Spiritual Sexual Shamanic Experience. I'll be leading ISTA Level 2 in Colorado, August 21st to the 28th. And I'll be leading ISTA Level 1 in Delhi, India, December 12th to the 18th. For more information on how to join me at either of these, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com. Either way, I would love for you to consider this week-long, amazing, spiritual, sexual, shamanic experience. Please consider this seriously, because love is your birthright.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Lori talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Lori's CD, Shamanic Release and Lati Han, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Lori is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Lori sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lati Han today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lati Han CD by Lori Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
Do you want to deepen your intimacy while being on the perfect vacation? I'm talking about an all-inclusive vacation with a nude beach, a prude beach, and an exceptional nightlife and plenty of entertainment. And there's so much more. In really fun classes every day, I will take you deeper and deeper into couples sensuality, into intimacy and enhanced communication as the week progresses. I also will offer private or semi-private sessions by appointment. I'll offer sessions in sex magic, G-spot stimulation, female ejaculation, and men's ejaculation choice. These are all topics that can be covered. When?
October 15th to the 22nd, 2016.
Where? Hedonism 2 Resort in Negril, Jamaica. For more information or to book your room, call Tom's Trips at 800-285-0853. That's 800-285-0853. Please book now. I can't wait to be with you in Jamaica. We're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Lori Handlers, your host. And today I'm having the pleasure of interviewing Dr. Martha Tara Lee, who I work very closely with, actually. So our conversation is kind of, for us, a normal conversation because we talk a lot. But today we're really talking about the background of things, like how Martha got started, how she chose to be a sexologist in a place that wasn't so open to having people talk about sex, and how that's brave. It's really, really brave. And then now you're producing things. So you've just produced this Make Love Week, and I was fortunate enough to be one of your presenters. And you teamed up with Robin Vogel, who's another very dear friend of mine on the East Coast. And so you must have gotten ears full of tips. So you probably have some of your own tips, things that you have learned over the 7 years that you've been in practice as a sexologist. And certainly I'd like to know if there's any tip that you'd like to share with listeners, whether it's about how to attract a partner or abundance or what have you. You know, that's my favorite topic, sex magic. Or anything, like any kinds of things that all of a sudden, you know, if I were to say to you, like, what's on your horizon right now? What's the most interesting thing to you right now? What would you say?
So I'm doing Make Love Week with Robbie, and it's actually part of Masturbation Month. May is Masturbation Month, and so we decided to call it Make Love Week. We have 14 guests, and we're very, very happy that you are one of them. And really, the idea of it came because I didn't have the confidence to do a telesummit by myself. I've never done one before, and I thought it would be fun to do it together. At least we don't feel so lonely, and we divided the work, and we actually work very well together because we are entrepreneurs, and we are very clear communicators, and we are very clear about what we want. So to answer your question about how to attract abundance into our lives, I think one of the things that I really learned, you know, it's easy to say, but I really needed to experience it in my life to learn this, and it is how our thoughts manifest our reality. And I had fear, you know, people put fear into me about what would happen when I started my practice, because of all this, like, you know, like I just wanted to do it, and then I wanted to just do it, and yet all these people around me were telling me how hard it's going to be a sexologist. I'm a woman. What if I get harassed? And true enough, I started getting harassed. And so the days when I feel really negative and really shocked and really scared about being harassed, are the days I get harassed the most. So it actually happened where I would have all this negativity and anger, talking about it with a friend, and then I get 3 sexual harassment calls that day. And then I realized really the way I think immediately manifests into the reality.
Good that you realize that. Go ahead.
So I realized I shouldn't even think about it. I should just welcome it. I should just love them. And every time I get sexually harassed, I ask myself, what is off balance in my life? Like, am I becoming negative? Am I having fear? And so in order to really play at a higher playing field, because, you know, I've been doing this for 7 years, and I had my radio show last year, and I had all these fears as well, which was, oh, you know, I'm Singaporean, who the hell am I to do my own radio show? Are people going to be able to understand my accent? I don't speak well, I speak weird because I'm Singaporean and I speak Singlish. And true enough, I did get negative responses, but I also got a lot of positive responses, and decided to focus on the positive one, because how does it really help me and my energy by focusing on the negative? And so I even had this little challenge that I had earlier this year. I call it 30 days abundance love. So every time I start thinking negative, I just meditate on the word abundance more. And that month, I just attracted so much money, so much happiness, so much creativity. And it was amazing. So I really truly believe now that as long as we make sure we are of the highest vibration possible, then things are actually moving towards the positive way, that outcome that we want. So important to really check ourselves. And sure, you know, I don't feel the best state every day at every moment, but every time I catch myself, I can choose to shift it. So it's very, very important, because our potential partner out there, we want to make sure we have the best one possible for us. So we need to make sure that we are the best version of ourselves possible at any given time. So why would we not own the things that we can control, which is ourselves? Yes. And if we do that, then we have, you know, we have love, we have money, we have opportunities. And all these things are happening to me so much easier now, because I believe it's possible. So my show has given me confidence, and now I see myself not as this small little Asian sexologist, I see myself as an international. I had to reframe in my mind, I'm international. And then I'm getting all these opportunities, including being on your show, which was something I wanted to manifest as well.
Well, it's my pleasure to have you. And I, you know, how I see you is huge. And I, you know, and I've told you this in the last couple of weeks, I see you as a really great teacher. You're very fun. You frame things funny for people. You lighten things up. You take a serious subject. I'm sure if somebody came to you with erectile dysfunction or some kind of thing, like vaginismus is very serious also. And when people come to you, I imagine that you lighten them up and give them confidence. And the only way I know that you could do that is by having given yourself your own confidence and gotten yourself through your hurdles and over your fear. I think that you're absolutely brilliant. And I imagine that anybody who works with you could have a really fun time as well as get over themselves. Because you've had to get over yourself. We've all had to get over ourselves if we're going to be successful at this. So. Yeah. So, yeah, it's my pleasure to have you on the show. And I see only really big things for you.
Thank you.
You've written, you have a radio show. What's the name of the radio show?
Okay, so the radio show is called Eros Evolution. So, because I have all this like scientific, academic study of human sexuality. Then I'm also into spirituality. I'm this like new age hippie girl, flower child, whatever. And I always, in my head separated the two. I don't know why. So I had all this interest and I separated the two. And it wasn't until Tantra that I realized that there's a link between sex and spirit. I kind of knew it, but I didn't really understand it fully, even with my doctorate. So decided to start this radio show exploring the link between the two. And I've really learned a lot from all the people that I've interviewed, the past year. And I just wanted to add to what you were saying just now. It's a choice. Life is a choice.
Right.
I've been through two failed marriages, and it's a huge thing as an Asian to be divorced. And I was first divorced when I was 26. So and at that time, none of my friends were married, some of them were starting to get married, and definitely nobody was divorced. And so I went through a lot of negativity and self-blame and self-loathe and self-doubt. And I had to rediscover myself each step of the way. So I just keep telling myself whenever negative, bad things happen, what can I learn from this? How can I be a better person? I have a choice of being negative about it, or I can choose to turn this into something good. And if I don't work on myself, now that I'm a sexologist, if I don't work on myself, how am I going to mirror this for my clients? They looked at me as a role model and I inspire them. They don't have any role models. So I have to step up and be that role model.
That's right.
And part of being a role model is you don't teach what you don't do for yourself.
That's
right. So I constantly challenge and ask myself, what am I not doing that I actually feel other people should be doing? So every session that I work with someone, you know, you can say I'm, you know, we teachers, we teach, but really I see myself as learning from them as well, how I can be a better person.
Mm-hmm.
From my clients, I have learned, because, you know, to me, sex is easy, you know, sex is for a long time was just something physical, and the emotions make sex better. But from my clients, I have actually seen how sex is so difficult for them. And what I see at the end of all that pain is love. I see how much they honor the sacredness of sex, and which is why they don't end the marriage, they don't cheat, at least for a lot of them, they don't. And I see the preciousness of relationships and love and sex. And that has really taught me to value it so much more. And I have actually become much more evolved and enlightened and spiritual as a result of learning so much from them. And they probably don't even realize how they influence me.
That's beautiful. Well, so say again the name of the radio show. Then we're going to find out your website so people can find you.
Okay.
So the radio show is Eros
Evolution.
Evolution. Okay. And people can find that just by typing in Eros Evolution.
Evolution. Yes. So they just Google Eros Evolution. Then they will be able to find a show.
And then your website is eroscoaching.com. So let me spell it out in case people don't know. Eros, E-R-O-S, coaching, C-O-A-C-H-I-N-G, coaching.com. Yeah. That's where you can find Dr. Martha Tara Lee. And you offer Skype sessions, many Skype sessions. You offer in-person sessions. You started this telesummit series, and you're going to be, I know for a fact that you're going to be doing lots of, and you have lots of YouTube videos where you're actually instructing, yeah?
Yes. So
what's your YouTube channel?
So I just search for Martha Tara Lee on YouTube and you'll find a channel. Yeah, I have lots of videos that I do. I truly believe that, you know, it's impossible to get everything perfect. So I do what I can with what I have, and then I just need to let go of the rest.
Yeah, and so does everybody else. So you're setting a very good role model here, because people think they have to be perfect, and that's some crazy ideal that was forced upon them. We don't have to be perfect. We just have to be who we are. And I actually feel like we have to embrace all of our parts of ourselves, the fear, the loathing, all the things you mentioned, to embrace that and then move on and just focus on the positive, exactly what you talked about. So this is the end of our time together, and I want to thank you so much for being with me today and for sharing so much from your heart.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for having me. I have a lot of love and respect for you, as you already know. And I really love your show.
Thank you.
You ask really good questions.
Thank you. I love doing my show. So everybody, thank you for tuning in today to Sex and Happiness. It's always my pleasure to be with you. And I want to let you know that next time I'm going to have two guests on who are pretty famous in the world also. I'm not telling you their names yet, but they're going to talk about this way of communication called the Zeg Forum. And the Zeg Forum is a way that people in community can learn to communicate with each other without blaming each other and without pointing fingers at each other and getting into disagreements. It's a very creative and unique way, and it's used in communities where they're very sex positive. So it could be communities of people who are into polyamory or communities of people who are nudists or what have you. It's the Zeg Forum is used in communities that I know of people who are very sex positive. So we're going to be hearing from two Zeg Forum teachers next time. So please tune in. This is Laurie Handlers signing off for Sex and Happiness. Again, thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Laurie and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Oh.